to the podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Katie. And this is One Kiss Means Forever. This is the podcast where you finally get the dreams that you've always hoped for, and then you ruin them because you put them on your YouTube channel. We are talking about your favorite made-for-TV romances, the kinds that you find on Hallmark, Lifetime, Netflix, and other places we've talked about.
So today we're going to talk about the other places we've talked about type of movie, because I believe this is an UpTV movie, officially. And this is one where I'm sort of surprised we've never talked about it before, how it kind of, like, missed our filters. that being said, I had seen it before. I don't believe you had. Am I correct?
No, this was my first maiden voyage.
So today we're talking about a movie that, depending on where you're located, is called different things. It is sometimes called, I think, the original, like, shooting name, Canada name, is Pride and Prejudice Cut. And the U.S. name is Becoming Ms. Bennet. And it originally aired October 19th, 2019. And if you know anything about us listeners, you know we're
We're ostentatious.
Yes, we're those. We love Pride and Prejudice. We love all adaptations of Pride and Prejudice. And by love, I do mean we love to watch them, not necessarily love them in themselves, because not all of them work.
True.
But, you know, it was called Pride and Prejudice Cut, or Becoming Ms. Bennet. We needed to watch this movie and talk about it.
We had to do it.
We had to do it.
It was imperative.
And also, on top of that, I don't know why we've decided that we're, like, weirdly enamored and horrified by this person at the same time. But our girl Lexi G is in this movie.
And I
feel like that's also a thing. So, this is what UpTV has to say about this movie. Kate, an American internet star, lands the role of her dreams as Elizabeth Bennet in a production of Pride and Prejudice. Unfortunately, she struggles with her British accent as well as her theatrically trained co-star, Liam, who feels she is not worthy to play the iconic role. And again, it stars Lexi G, otherwise known as Lexi Giovagnoli. Thank you. And David Witz.
So here we have our synopsis, written by Jane Austen.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Jane Austen here today, folks. Great. So internet famous vlogger Kate, played by Lexi G, who we dubbed back at in the Accidentally Engaged episode that we had before. So Kate wants nothing more than to be an actress. I feel you, girl. And because she has 8 million followers who will see her in a movie, because we all know the box office is the most important part of the movie biz, for show, she lands the part as Lizzie Bennet in a new Pride and Prejudice adaptation. Upon arriving for rehearsals and shooting, she realizes she's the only American and her British accent is lacking.
David Witz plays Liam, the actor cast as Mr. Darcy. Because Kate is an untrained actress, a.k.a. she didn't go to the right schools, without a background with a dialect coach, he's very dismissive of her, and he even goes so far as to ask her to be recast. I guess he thinks he has that kind of pull. Of course, Kate overhears this, so they're off to a very bad start. Who doesn't want to just be on good terms with their coworker who, upon meeting them, asked the boss to fire you?
Totally. And then you have to act like you're in love with them.
Yeah.
Hypothetically.
So, fun. So at least the actors playing Jane and Bingley are friendly, both to Lexi G and to each other. everyone in this movie it's basically like, please take on your character's personality traits and relationship statuses.
Yes.
Let's just like, this is a movie, Pride and Prejudice, but like, let's bring it out into the real world. Jane and Bingley, you go date each other. Thank you.
Yes. it's not thinly veiled.
No. Mrs. Bennett, please try to make sure no one is single in this cast.
Right. Truth and universally acknowledged. That a single actor must be in want of a co-star, showmance, etc. Okay. So Kate is determined to get this accent and keep her job. Luckily, almost everyone is on her side. The director basically coddles her. The rest of the cast wants to help, except this woman, Amelia, who is the chick playing Caroline Bingley, of course. So, you know, art imitating life, imitating art. We've talked about that before. But even the crew is pulling for her. However, the producer that's on location and the financial backer, so this huge investor who's named Philippa, they are not sure. And after all, this is Lizzie Bennett, English character extraordinaire. The accent has to be perfect.
So, unfortunately, the only person who seems to be able to get Kate to hear the different sounds and say them correctly is Liam. He's got that magic, he says it once and she gets it thing.
Yeah.
So every time he corrects her, she can fix the mistake. But she really hates how condescended to she feels. And she's pouring her feelings out on her YouTube channel. which might not be the smartest career move in the world.
No. Not at all. So the financial backer shows up and throws this cocktail party for the cast after the first week of rehearsals. Amelia, in effort to sabotage Kate and usurp the role of Lizzie, which is how casting works, informs Kate of a venue change that didn't happen. So this forces Kate to be very late because she goes to the wrong place and then has to come back. So since Kate needed to make a good impression with Philippa, this gives Amelia time to do even more damage by letting it slip that Kate's accent is not yet perfect. Or perfect.
Correct. So Kate is not about to let anyone, even the person holding the purse strings, strip her of her dignity. So she stands up to Philippa when Philippa demands that Kate basically, like, perform for her on command. And Liam is impressed with how Kate stands up for herself, and so he asks her out. You know, this is the part of the story where, like, I've tried in vain, but my feelings cannot
do.
Yeah, I forget the exact lines.
I must tell you how ardently I admire and love you.
Yes, thank you. but how dare the man wanting her fired ask her out, like, which is fair, like, it's very fair. She had not known him a week before she felt that he were the last man in the world whom she could ever be prevailed upon to go on a date with.
That was brilliant, Hannah.
Thank
I mean
you.
Jane Austen.
thank you very much.
I love that. So Kate makes a video that basically says she knows Philippa doesn't want her, which angers the producer, though exactly what was so bad about it is, like, a little bit lost on me. Like, yeah, I kind of, what was so bad? Whatever. She's just telling the truth. And she's still not getting the accent, so tail between her legs, she has to go back to Liam for help. And because he's Mr. Darcy to her Elizabeth in life as well as in the movie, he's more than happy to spend that time with her.
Yeah, because he not so secretly likes her now.
Yes.
But it's still weird. after a single night of hard work and wine, Kate has finally got the accent correct. She can do all her lines and sound British. But even with that, the financial backer, Philippa, pulls the strings and fires her anyway for her videos and maybe for being American.
Mm-hmm.
but that's not fair. And Liam won't stand for it. So he makes a bargain. His role as Mr. Darcy goes to Will, the guy currently playing Wickham, and given it to Philippa in exchange for Kate to stay Lizzie. Amelia, who thought she had it locked in, is furious when everybody says fine to this particular role switcheroo.
Right. And if giving it to Philippa wasn't enough of a euphemism, they're having sex.
They're very much having sex. It's real gross.
Yeah. It's certainly a casting couch, like, consensual situation, but...
Oh, but yeah. It's almost like it was his idea to be hey, if you give me shit, I'll fuck you.
And she's like, okay.
Yeah.
You're cute and young. But when Kate learns of this deal, she can't let Liam give up his chance of breaking into American movies. Though he's a well-known British stage actor, so he'll be fine. But that's when Philippa finds Will, who was giving it to Philippa, remember we just said, and Amelia in bed together. Oh my gosh. So clearly they are both fired. I mean, Philippa has no ethical boundaries on this project anyway, so she's like, whatever, off with their heads. So Liam is back on as Mr. Darcy. Kate stays on as Lizzie. This adorable PA who desperately wants to break into films is cast as Wickham on the spot with no audition. And someone else who... It's irrelevant. Someone else gets cast as Caroline. But
yeah, I don't think they tell us, but...
No.
I mean, I'm making the assumption that there is a Caroline.
Yes. I have a guess, but it doesn't really matter.
The director?
I was going to say, the costume designer, had a friend or something.
That's also very possible. It's got to be somebody from town. Whatever.
From Meryton.
So 6 weeks later, it is the final day of shooting, and Kate has been documenting everything via her vlog, and everyone is now friends, and Jane and Bigley are still dating, and blah, blah, blah. And so the final scene that they're shooting is what I decided to call the engagement walk to Meryton.
If your feelings are the same as they were last April, tell me now, and I will
tell
say
me
nothing
so
on
at
this
once.
Forever.
Yeah, something. That one. Between Lizzie and Mr. Darcy, and just as Liam and Kate are about to kiss for the movie, the director calls cut. But no, Kate and Liam are also in love, and so they go back for their kiss anyway. And since
one kiss means forever,
we've got another Hollywood power couple in the making, especially since their first kiss seems to be on film.
Yes.
Because the director may have yelled cut, but nobody did that.
Well, she does mention, she's like, keep rolling when she sees them kissing.
Which is very weird to me because she did say cut. So doesn't that mean people have turned stuff off and then keep rolling? It was whatever. It's not important.
I'm not sure. Okay. So that was the synopsis, and we have so much to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about, yeah.
Okay. One thing I think that we need to just mention, which adds to the insanity of the fact that, okay, so Kate is American. Everyone's being very xenophobic about her being American, which makes no sense because this is an American film.
It's an American being filmed in North Carolina or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so the fact that everyone's up in arms about, this is a British thing, everything is British, blah, 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 British, 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 but you got flown over here to be an American film and there's only one American actor? Why? Why did they do that?
It's very weird. It's very weird.
100%.
Okay, so there's a lot of really weird things that are just choices in this movie.
Yeah. Oh my god, we could talk for days.
For days. First of all, this movie, I feel this is totally me projecting onto it, but it feels influenced by Ever After.
Okay.
And I mean that in the Like when she like walks in on Amelia being fitted for her costume, and that's how she finds out she's fired. Like no one tells her anything. It's just like, oh, and well, she'll find out at some point. Like what? Like
I forgot that that is very ever after. Oh my gosh, we're having an ever after time. Like. It's time to rewatch that film.
But I just like, it's such an, like, of all the ways to find out you're fired, like, what? To be the last to know? Like.
Absolutely. That was completely weird and unethical. And also, that's not how usually casting works. I feel like they would have had to recast the whole thing, like, had other auditions.
Right. It's, also, like, first of all, they probably, like, in theory, they might have had, like, somebody that they were considering. What if she had said no?
Right.
No
one else auditioned for this role?
Right. There's nobody sort of like, oh, that was our second choice person.
And then also, can we talk about the rehearsal process here?
Weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Okay, so let's paint this picture. So, I mean, okay. So I will admit, I have been in movies, but I've not been in a lot of movies, so I'm not really sure how certain people choose to do rehearsal. But so there's the initial table read, right? Great. But then for the rest of the week, they do the rehearsal of this movie as if it were kind of a play with all of the actors present for like intimate two people scenes in this conference room with like just standing up and talking to each other. And in my experience, that's something that if you need to work on like emotions and like connection and stuff, you do that privately with a team in a rehearsal space of your own before you go to set. And like, that's not what happened here. And it's weird. That is boring also. Like, why are these other actors present when they aren't needed?
It was so bizarre to, like, have them, like, to have all the actors there, like, around. It was very play-esque. Because yeah. Also, the other thing is, like, she's trying to get this accent for the whole movie. And it's like, okay, well, like, what are her problem words? What are her problem sounds? Like, that's what she needs to work on. And, like, this is a movie. If it's not perfect and she gets it wrong, you could redo it.
Dub it. They have done it before. Oh, my God. Who was it? There's, like, some movie where someone's, like, Cockney accent is so bad they had to redub the film. It was, like, Fergie or something. I can't remember. But it has been done.
Also, the idea that anyone would... sure, there are people who are going to give a shit about like the accent. Absolutely. First of all, it never, as far as I'm concerned, was never exactly right.
Right.
Also, everybody else, like, I kept being like, this is a British movie and you're all speaking in different British accents. And like, not even so much as like, oh, you're bad at your British accent, American actor playing a Brit kind of way. But more in a like, okay, you all are supposed to basically come from different parts of England and have different accents because of it, which in theory, you should all merge your accent and have one accent because you're a frickin' family. But we're putting that
I feel like that's nitpicky, but right. Like, for sure.
Also, putting it all to the side, there were a couple words where I was like, that sounds wrong to my American ear for a British accent.
Oh, yeah?
I can't even really come up with it, but, like, there were a couple words where I was like, huh. Like, that didn't come off with the, like, accent that I would have guessed. And I don't know if that was... intentional, if that was like I'm not good at it, which is also a possibility. I don't know, you know, but it just was a little bit like meh. And the other thing is, I mean, I say this knowing all the controversy that's come out about so many movies. Actors have bad accents in movies all the time, like all the time.
And oh, my God. Anne Hathaway in One Day. Oh, my God.
I remember that movie
She's supposed to have a Yorkshire accent, which is probably the most difficult of all of them.
I don't remember what she sounded like, but I just
not good.
I remember. I think about it a lot. What did they call that movie? Something Mountain Time.
Oh, we've talked about this.
Yeah. That came out in December or so of 2020. That is based
on Emily Blunt.
Yeah, that's based on a play that I saw with Deborah Messing. And they did the one line I gave a shit about wrong in the movie.
Right.
And I watched it because I adored that play. It's so weird and I was so into it and the movie didn't work. But everyone in that movie is doing a ridiculous accent because the idea that you would make Christopher Walken do an Irish accent is like, that's just mean.
Oh my God.
But like this happens all the time. I don't know what the big deal is.
It does. And I wrote down that, like, so we're just talking about like American people doing British things and like British people doing American things. And a lot of people, when Renee Zellweger was going to be Bridget Jones, were like up in arms because people loved Bridget Jones. They're like, oh, an American taking this Brit part. But in actuality, British actresses and actors have taken a lot of American like heroes, like I think we were talking about this before, like Blanche DuBois and Scarlett O'Hara, both Southern American heroines, were played with the same person and she was a Brit. Like, it happens all the time.
I was also gonna say we had two like civil rightsy movies in the past 5-10 years,
yeah,
where the leads were Brits of African descent. They were not Americans.
Yeah.
Like Martin 100%. Luther King, played by an Englishman.
Isn't Cynthia Erivo English?
Yes. Cynthia Erivo is also English. You're right. So, like, Cynthia Erivo,
I can't remember. I'm so sorry, yeah. David. We're butchering your name. But yes, he's English.
Chiwetel Ejiofor are all British.
Glorious. I mean, the Brits just kind of take over. And it's like, for sure, they honor their training a lot more than like Americans do. Like, when you go to school to be an actor, it's the same as going to school to be a doctor or a lawyer or a social worker. Like, it has the same clout mostly. So Americans, I really feel like you should get your shit together. But I think that's why they get like cast all the time, is because they take it seriously and their culture takes it seriously, unlike Americans.
Right. So
soapbox down.
Yes.
Can we talk about the ethics of her YouTube channel?
Of her YouTube channel? Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, can we start with, does she not have a contract?
Right?
Because not only would I think that she would have a contract that would make it so, like, firing her for being American would not be cool, and, like, there would be some stipulation about, like, and you must master the accent or something in it.
Right.
But I would also assume that that would have something along the lines of, and you can't talk about the movie behind the scenes.
Right. So it's like they're not shy about the fact that one of the reasons that they've cast her is she has a following. She has, like, and that is 100% real life. Like, people do this.
It's just
right
very
now,
weird.
All the time.
I also, speaking of like rehearsal and stuff, like the idea that they didn't screen test with each other is also very baffling.
Was there no callback? Was there no callback? Is there, they mention a lot that this is super low budget, so they can't afford a dialogue coach. But all of that aside, I feel like there's so much that we're putting aside. You don't talk about the people that you're working with on a film that you're supposed, that your fan base is supposed to make money. You don't talk shit about them, like, on your YouTube channel without, like, having a plan with your publicist.
Right. I mean, some of the things that she was talking about, I didn't find problematic.
No.
In that, like, her being like, I'm having trouble with the accent. It's much harder than I anticipated. Great. Seemed like an app. First of all, they got mad at her for talking about that, which I was like, see, that's the kind of thing where I don't think it's a big problem, because you're that actually, in my opinion, would make a lot of fans want to go support you once the movie is done, when you're like, hey, I finally got it. I'm really excited.
Complete agreement. Totally agree.
It is the, like, these people in this movie are terrible and I hate them. That is the problem.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I was gonna say like the characters being terrible, like that moment when they're out to dinner and some of Kate Lexi G's fans come up and say, like, can we take your picture? And she's like, oh, how refreshing that Americans like their British theater actors. And I'm like, fuck you. Like,
fuck you.
Nobody knows who you are, okay? Sorry.
Also, the idea that, first of all, there are the British theater actors that I actually really do like, and as an American, I'm insulted.
Yeah.
Second of all, the fans who walk up to her are like 12 and 14.
Right.
Those people do not know theater from the bottom of their foot. Like, there's no way I would have known any of those people, especially as a teenager.
For sure. Absolutely. Like how would you?
In South Carolina, or whatever. In like South or North Carolina. Like,
in America. Like, unless you live on Broadway and these people have been on Broadway and none of these people have. They're
right.
All starting
like,
their American careers.
There is the, like, few people who, like, might have had a relatively wealthy upbringing whose parents would take them to the West End, like, once a year, who might know these people.
But for Amelia to assume that that was the condition.
Yeah. No, that's
gross.
It's insanity.
Gross. So,
yes. I mean, she's just terrible.
Just bottom line, Amelia's terrible.
So one thing I really want to talk about really quickly. I think they get Pride and Prejudice wrong.
Okay.
Not like drastically wrong. Just like a little bit wrong.
Give it to me. Tell me where you're at.
Okay. So at some point in the... in one of the scenes that they're doing, I believe it's Lizzie and Jane talking to each other and discussing what happened with Wickham and Darcy.
Uh-huh.
And they call it Wickham getting cut off. And that's not what happens.
Okay.
He gets a lump sum to go
yes.
away. But I wouldn't call that being cut off.
Well, one of the gripes that Wickham does have is that he talks about is how he loved Darcy's father as his own. So I think that, like, he does kind of feel a little bit, he was not cut off. You're right. That's the wrong term.
Well,
because
also
he does
I believe
feel like he deserved more.
I believe
money.
This is a discussion post getting the Darcy information.
Ah. No, I think you're right, but when you choose not to have an adaptation that includes Georgiana and Lydia, you kind of have to make shit up. You have to have a reason.
I don't think there was a Mary or a Kitty.
There was a none of it. Like, we don't have most of these characters.
Right.
But I'm saying you have to create a reason of why Darcy and Wickham are in the outs. And if you don't have any of those characters, it has to be something stupid.
Right.
Like,
I mean, we're missing some major, major characters. Like,
we don't have the time for those major characters.
No, we don't have a Collins. We don't have a Charlotte. We don't have a Lady Catherine de Bourgh.
How dare.
But, I mean, we do in the off-screen story, because that's clearly Philippa, but you know, still
very, very, very true.
But so there was that, and then remind me if I feel like I'm not crazy, the ending of Pride and Prejudice the book,
I think I know what you're gonna say.
Like, it's sort of like epilogue-y, and then it's like they got married and everybody was happy, and like
Especially aunt and uncle Gardner, yeah, give them a pat on the back. Yeah.
Right. And like, you know, kind of like, and like, Wickham was never allowed in their house and, you know, all that. There is never a scene where they're married and like happy to be Mrs. Darcy. That's a Keira Knightley made up thing, right?
You are 100% correct.
And so when they essentially redo that.
That is,
I was mad.
Not correct. I was, thank you for reminding me that that happened because I also had that moment and I did not write it down. But Hannah, you're absolutely right. That scene is just stolen.
Yeah.
It's just stolen. And it's not right.
No, it doesn't happen.
It ain't right.
So those are my little, like, did you read Pride and Prejudice? Or did you just watch a movie?
It's kind of like if they had rehearsed the scene of him coming out of the lake all wet. You know, like, that doesn't happen in the book, but it does happen in the greatest adaptation.
Right. But I feel like, and I feel like that it's sort of been almost like co-opted into people's memories of the book. But like, it's one of those things where, like, I feel like that scene or the, like, Mrs. Darcy scene is how you can tell if somebody's actually read it or not.
I think you're probably right.
And yeah. I felt like this was I watched the Keira Knightley version of Pride and Prejudice. I've read the book. I can write the screenplay.
Ew. I mean, if you have seen the Colin Firth version, you pretty much have read the book. It's almost all, except for the license of having him wet.
Right. I mean, it's fantastic, and I will watch it anytime, anywhere.
It's on Hulu.
Oh, I own it. Are you kidding?
I mean, of course we do. But just in case, for you, I'm talking to our listeners.
Okay. Yes.
All five of them. Just kidding.
No, we have more than five listeners.
I know. I'm kidding. I'm going to
But yeah, it's okay. It's on Hulu, and if you've got 6 hours, it's well worth it. Sometimes I just watch it. Just for fun. So yeah. That's what I need to.
I have one final very fast what the fuck moment.
Okay.
And if we feel comfortable moving into segments.
I think so.
Did you notice that Kate has very prominent red streaks in her hair during filming?
I noticed her hair color was unnatural. I didn't really think of too hard about why.
Right. I just felt I was mad at it because during that last scene where they're filming like the marriage and engagement scene, she had very, very streaky, like big unnatural streaks. And I was so mad that I'm like, they're going to be historically accurate with the accent or whatever. But dyed hair is okay. I don't know about it.
Also, the costumes weren't really historically accurate, so...
Low budget. I can chalk that up, but right. You can dye your hair a natural color.
That's true. That's true. All right. So, Hallmark Hallmarks.
Hallmark Hallmarks. We have unwarranted antagonism.
I have that, too.
How can you not? It's Pride and Prejudice.
I know. I have overhearing the wrong thing when she overhears him asking her to be fired.
Did you steal my notes? That was my next one as well. She's not looking for love.
Oh, no. I have the snobby male lead. Like, too good for school.
I have that the rival helps by not helping. Because Amelia gives her wrong information, but Amelia also tries to help her, quote unquote, help her with her accent, but gives her the wrong pronunciations, so she embarrasses herself.
I'm out. I didn't really...
Oh.
So keep going.
There is a boy who's in proximity, so you must like him. When Wickham comes on the scene, the girl who plays Jane is like, the Wickham should show up today. Have you met him yet? He's single. We have an evil boss lady, and we do have an interrupted kiss during rehearsals.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, it's not like the actual kiss moment, but it is interrupted. So
yeah,
pretty parade.
Pretty parade. I only have antis. So do you have any pretty parades?
I think my pretty parade was what's his face who plays Darcy. I thought he was very attractive.
He is pretty attractive.
And I appreciate it. All of the women in this movie had a very bold lip.
And that's actually part of my anti.
Fascinating. Okay, cool. Go ahead.
I don't mind the bold lip. One of my antis is specifically her Lexi G's lip liner.
Oh, I see.
Because it is so drastically different in color from her lipstick color that it...
What is this, the mid-90s?
I was so distracted by it. I was like, why is this happening? I was like, it's not even about the color. It's the difference in color that is the issue.
Hilarious.
So that was one of mine. The other one I really need to call out because this is basically like a t-shirt sweater thing for me. It both in a, like, why does this exist? Because it's defeating the purpose, and it was also just ugly. For the first day of rehearsals, Lexi G wears a flannel button down. Sounds fine, right?
Yeah.
Except for it has no shoulders. It's like a cutout from her shoulders to like her elbow, leaving that open. So it's not warm anymore, if that was the reason for it. And because it is no longer a functional shirt, it now just looks like a bad flannel. And now it's just terrible. Like, this is a thing that should not exist in the world, let alone on a person. I was so mad at it.
Obviously, it didn't strike me that hard, but I totally understand what you're talking about. Fashion should be fabulous and functional.
Yes, so. Agreed.
Great. Across the universes?
I did this as across our universe, Katie.
Awesome. I think I'm going to say the same thing, but go ahead.
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
I said she won't lie. Like Rusevy.
I feel like, okay, so I feel like we have to explain this. So Lucifer is one of those shows that we talk about on this podcast where there's like overlap, whatever. We love the show. Watch Lucifer on Netflix. We
really
were not
fun
paid to say that. But when I started watching Lucifer, I kept calling it Rusify because that is what the cat from Cinderella is named, Lucifer, and Gus, Gus, and Jacques call him Rusify. And so now we call the TV show Lucifer Rusify, and it's hilarious. So if you're like, what the fuck are they talking about? That is what it is. You are now inside our baseball.
Yes, that is our baseball. But that was mine.
You're right. It wasn't what I had asked. So this movie is inside our universe because our last episode, we talked about not holding two British writers sacred. First of all, being Jane Austen.
Mm-hmm.
And the second being Shakespeare. And the guy who plays Bingley at one point when they're at a dinner, he goes, I don't actually really like Shakespeare. And I was like, so we have a Jane Austen movie and they're talking about not liking Shakespeare. And so I was just like, that was pretty funny to me that we have both of those things. I also wrote across a stupid universe, since we're talking about Keira Knightley, Philippa says something about, like, I have already acquiesced to this decision, and it made me think that I'm disinclined to acquiesce to your request from Pirates of the Caribbean. So, anyway,
lovely.
That was stupid,
lovely.
But I liked it.
Did you have any new and noteworthy?
I did.
Okay.
So this was on Up TV, but it also, if you look for this movie on Amazon Prime, it comes free with your trial of faith and family. So I thought it was very interesting that we have straight up prostitution in that Will is willing to like sleep with Philippa for anything, and that they're caught in a sexual act off screen. But he comes out when Amelia and Will are caught. He comes out with his shirt off, and I thought she's in a sheet, and that was the most risque thing I've seen across any of the networks. And the fact that this movie is on faith and family, I thought that was new and noteworthy.
This is the exact thing that I also had as new and noteworthy. I said, full-on cheating sex scandal.
Yes.
Because also,
and
it's,
more, please.
Because also, there's cheating. Like, there's never cheating in these things.
Yeah.
Like this is because this is full on. Like, in theory, Will and Philip are together.
They're at least they're together in there, the quote, fooling the, around. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like sleeping with somebody else. So
100%.
Yeah.
Good call, both of us.
Yes.
Supporting shout out.
I didn't have one.
I did. Just okay. Real fast, shouting out to Spencer, the costume designer, because I thought he was fabulous, and I'm like, I love you.
He was a good character.
Yeah.
That's true. All right, I think it's time for a kiss meter.
I think you should go first.
All right. I think this is a pretty good kiss. I gave it an 8.75. Because they seem to go for it in like a, like, you will not stop us from kissing each other kind of way. But it can't get any higher than that for a couple reasons. One, they're being filmed.
Yes, without their knowledge.
And they're in front of a lot of people. Not cool. And also, very much not cool, is... there is no non-character, and I mean that as, like, non-Lizzie Darcy, declaration of feelings of any kind, let alone, like, being into each other. Beyond, like, I think you're a good actress.
Yeah, but it's inferred after she finds out that it was his, just like Lizzie and Darcy, when
yeah.
she finds out it was his doing to
yes, but,
fix everything.
But here, the thing is, Lizzie and Darcy do have that, like, subtle, my feelings are quite the opposite moment. And they didn't have that.
I guess you're right. You're right.
So I think if we're going by just what we saw, kiss itself was not a bad kiss, but it needed a little bit more context.
Fair. It's so weird. I feel like I had all the context I needed, but I did not enjoy the kiss. So I gave it a 6.
Okay.
Because I felt like when the director yells cut and, like, they have that moment and they go in for the kiss, I felt like it was so, we are going to kiss now. In terms of I don't know. It just, I didn't have that oomph behind everything, I guess, for me.
Okay.
And the fact that it was in front of people and they were being filmed without their knowledge because she was whatever. So that was my reasons why.
Sounds good.
So, Hannah.
So, Katie.
Would you watch this movie?
No, I don't think so.
How funny, because I think I would. Because ultimately, the thing about this movie is the script is not bad. I mean, the script is half Pride and Prejudice, straight from the book or the Keira Knightley movie. But I loved the concept of the behind the scenes being the same as in front of the camera. And so with that, I loved that concept so much, I was really going around for the ride. The rest of the movie is batshit bananas and who cares. But I would watch this. I'd have it on in the background. I'd see it redone with a bigger budget in some ways.
I think if it was redone slightly differently, I might be more into it.
Yeah. Actually, I'm just going to say I like the concept of the Pride and Prejudice behind the scenes being the same as in front of the camera. Everything else, the YouTube video thing, I don't care. Whatever. Who cares? I hate it. But I was tickled by the concept.
That's fair. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. We will see you in a couple weeks. But before you go, make sure you follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. One kiss means forever. We are tweeting every Saturday, often Sundays, if there's a Sunday premiere as well. Trying to get in Chesapeake Shores when we can as well. just, we're just getting it all done.
We are. And if you want to email us your reviews of Chesapeake Shores, you can email us at onekissmeansforever@gmail.com. And that's all spelled out like it is on our logo.
And thank you, as always, to Flint Pastors for our intro outro music. His stuff is on Spotify, SoundCloud, and Apple Music.
Get it, Flint.
Woo-hoo! We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna turn around and desert you.